800-205-6245 or www.voiceamanywaters.org.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and as is customary, on Friday morning we have Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief to bring us up to date on what's really going on behind the scenes, the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
You take right off and run with the ball.
Well, thank you. Fortunately, we have one courageous U.S. Marine commandant now who has come out yesterday and opposed ending the ban on gays serving openly in the military. He's the first top-ranking officer to break openly with President Barack Obama. This is General James Conway. He said, my best advice to this committee, which was the House Defense Committee, said, and to the Secretary of Defense and to the President, is to keep the law as it is. He says the current law is working, and any bid to lift the ban should answer the question, does this enhance the war fighting capabilities of the United States Marine Corps, allowing homosexuals to serve openly? He says it absolutely does not, and he is opposed to it. His comments, of course, contrast sharply with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Admiral Mike Mullen, who has spoken openly about being in favor of ending the ban. In any case, this is a disastrous policy for the U.S. Military because it enters into sexual tension, into close combat confined quarters, which just should not be allowed. And it's bad enough having men and women serving oftentimes in close conditions, and we know the results of that women are harassed. There's constant sexual innuendo going on, and it's just a bad situation for military having to sleep together in close quarters in combat conditions, and even when it's not in combat, when they're out in field conditions, it's very difficult having privacy when you have this sexual tension going on. It just should not exist within military units. Not to mention the fact, of course, that most people are compromised in terms of their integrity and blackmailed, whether they're spies or otherwise, through homosexuality, and that will play a larger role when those things are allowed openly.
And I think this is a direct attack on our military. They know exactly what they're doing. They're going to destroy the morale of the American military. And back in 1992, when Clinton tried to lift the ban on homosexuality and the don't ask, don't tell program, all of the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff spoken up. Had the courage to speak up and say, no, Mr. President, we will not go along with you. We've got too many yes men and not enough men of courage on the Joint Chiefs of Staff today. Shame on them.
Yeah, that's right. And it also brings in the point that this is more than just lifting the don't ask, don't tell. This is an actual law that would make it allowable for homosexuals to serve openly. What this does tacitly allow them to have a protected minority status, whereas heterosexuals can be prosecuted, for example, trying to entice a woman to have relations with them. When there's this kind of innuendo, there's going to be cross purposes there. If a person in the military says, oh, this guy's giving me subtle hints, as a homosexual, he will just claim I'm protected. You know, I'm allowed to operate. And, you know, and if he doesn't like it, that's too bad. In other words, you won't be able to prosecute homosexuals for giving hints that they want some type of relationship with another guy.
Well,
anyway,
because
it's a legal quagmire.
A lot of our better military will just resign, and that's exactly what Barack Obama wants. He wants to destroy the American military. He is strongly pro-homosexual. I've talked to people from Chicago who knew him, and they suggest that everybody in Chicago knew that he was gay. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I've been told that by people who were very, very close to him, who lived in the neighborhood. My goodness, what have we done? Not only that, but I've heard him actually say on television, isn't it? I mean, I was amazed that John McCain never challenged my Muslim faith. Why isn't that
That's right.
on every television program across America? I mean, it's posted on my website. John McCain didn't challenge my Muslim faith. And, you know, and here he is trying to destroy our military. Some people might even call that treasonous.
Well, another interesting story that's really become hot here on the Internet is the dismissive response that Ben Bernanke gave to his confrontation with Ron Paul of the the House Banking Committee after Ron Paul detailed to him involvement of the Federal Reserve with the Watergate burglars, source of funding, and $5.5 billion from the U.S. government to Saddam Hussein in the 1980s. Bernanke said, well, Congressman, these specific allegations you've made I think are absolutely bizarre, and I have absolutely no knowledge of anything remotely like what you described. Professor Robert Auerbach, who wrote the definitive book on these cross-funding, secret funding through government, he's a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas, and he sent a letter to Ron Paul immediately after backing up what he had said, and Ron Paul yesterday entered that into the congressional record in Congress. And this is what Professor Auerbach said. He said, I thank Congressman Ron Paul for bringing to the public's attention the Federal Reserve cover-up of the source of the Watergate burglars' funding and of the $5.5 billion of the U.S. government sent to Saddam Hussein in the 1980s. The evidence Congressman Ron Paul mentioned is well documented in my recent book, Deception and Abuse at the Fed, 2008. It's an excellent book. The head of the Federal Reserve bureaucracy should become familiar with its dismal practices. Meaning, if Bernanke says that he is totally unfamiliar, then he ought to become familiar. First, consider the Fed's cover-up of the source of the $6,300 and $100 bills found in the Watergate burglars when they were arrested after they'd broken into the Watergate offices of the Democratic Party. 5 days after the break-in, at a board of directors meeting of officials of the Philadelphia Fed Bank, and I guess we'll continue this.
Hold that thought, Joe. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making their way, the only way they know how.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs. But we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Joel Skousen, and so go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the allegations that the Federal Reserve gave money to Saddam Hussein, some $5.5 billion. It was laundered through Banco Nacional de Lavoro in Italy, with a branch office in Atlanta. And in fact, one of the heads of the bank was taken in shackles to the Congress, testified to them about this transfer, and admitted that it had been laundered through his bank, and that it came from the Federal Reserve. And so these things are well documented by Dr. Auerbach's book. And although Ben Bernanke, you know, since this happened during Arthur Burns' time, chairman of the Fed, he may clearly be able to claim ignorance in this regard, but the dismissive way in which he said those things indicated that, you know, he was, in essence, you know, trying to denigrate the testimony of Ron Paul. And so Ron Paul's coming out to be vindicated. This is backfiring on the Fed, because it's getting a lot of play on the Internet now, something that had been lost in the archives many years previous to this. So, once again, Ron Paul continues to get a lot of press now. I am impressed with the fact that he is no longer able to be completely dismissed by the establishment. Even Larry King, when he had him on with James Carville, of course, who's the looks like the devil incarnate when he sits there on television, Democratic strategist. They were actually quite respectful of Paul. He was modest as usual, talking about his winning of the straw poll at the CPAC conference. And, of course, the CPAC conference was a major war and a contest between the Campaign for Liberty people, which were there in abundance, and the establishment Republicans. And when it was announced that Ron Paul had won the straw poll, there was booing in the audience. And, of course, the media picked up on that. But he bested Mitt Romney, who had won the past 3 years. He bested Mitt Romney 31% to 22%, which is a significant margin. And it shows that Ron Paul's popularity and notoriety for championing, especially for going after the Federal Reserve, which has gained a lot of Democratic support as well, has gained him a great deal of respect. He's more popular than ever.
It's his message of individual freedom and limiting the power of the federal government. I think this is what resonates with people. His opposition to the war, which is foolish, you know, will resonate with both liberals and conservatives. The average American doesn't want to expand the war. The average American wants to cut back on government. And this is the message that Ron Paul brings, and certainly voices so eloquently.
Well, I asked the question in today's World Affairs Brief, will Ron Paul run again? And I think it's very likely. Not only did he win the straw poll, but as I said, he has gained a lot of respect and is on, you know, at least Fox News and CNN and other places that, you know, were load to put him on before. Interesting enough, in the straw poll, Sarah Palin only drew 7%. I don't think among thinking conservatives she has much support at all. But, of course, I still believe that the establishment is trying to pull her up as the Republican nominee, specifically to allow Barack Obama to have another 4 years. I don't think Sarah Palin is electable, personally. Author and commentator Thomas Woods asked Ron Paul a carefully worded question during an interview during the CPAC conference. And, of course, he started by ticking off a series of good results since the 2008 presidential campaign, the Federal Reserve now being subject of debate, you know, that was on its audit position, federal government's foreign policy, you know, at least there is more opposition to the war, Austrian economics enjoying its greatest surge of interest since Hayek won the Nobel Prize. And he said, with all of these things, can you name us any good reasons why you should not run? There were big cheers from the audience, and Paul got a big grin on his face and ultimately admitted he could not think of any good reasons not to run. So I think that there, even though he's, 74 years old, I think there's a better-than-average possibility he will take up the gauntlet again. He is enthused, of course, by his son's running for the Kentucky Senate, open Senate seat. The media is reluctant to admit that Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son, is also a medical doctor, is the front runner now for the Republican nomination. And they keep playing like the Secretary of State is the front runner, but it's not true. The polls are showing that Ron Paul is out in front now, and the establishment's going to try to do anything they can to sabotage his winning, as well as anything that they can do to sabotage Ron Paul getting the Republican nomination. There's a major shift in the Republican Party now, which the establishment's very, very worried about. It showed up at CPAC, and that is to pin, in spite of all of the powerful establishment forces, which you'd normally control CPAC through the American Conservative Union, which is its host, it was just an overwhelming, anti-establishment Republican attendance there at the conference, and they've never seen that before. They've been able to control the Republican Party easily, but I was amazed at how many people came out during the conference and as part of their remarks were saying there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. And so there was definitely a hostility towards the establishment Republican position, and it's becoming more open now.
I haven't seen anything like this since 1964 when Barry Goldwater ran against Nelson Rockefeller. Only we've got a lot more people now, I think, even within the Democrats, who realize what's going on.
Indeed, we do, Dr. Stan. The next topic is the very sad suicide of Joe Stack, who flew his light airplane into the IRS offices in Austin, Texas. His details, of course, the media immediately labeled him as a crazy person. He was distraught and he was angry, but he was certainly not crazy. His detailed letter about IRS abuses leaving him despondent and angry was not the work of a crazy man. The IRS is ruthless once it gets hold of people, and all the rules are stacked against you if they decided to take you down and strip you of your assets. And people are getting very frustrated and driven over the mark. A man named Terry Hoskins in Ohio, a businessman who was ruined by the IRS foreclosures, chose to bulldoze his home and his business establishment, which he was had more, rather than give it over to the government or the bank, which owned these properties, had loans on it. The banks were partially to blame because they had refused to work with him on a reasonable restructure of his payment plan. And so, as the legal owner, he had the right to bulldoze them, and he did. There was a very interesting letter I published in the World First Brief from Pastor Brooke Stockton, who himself was run out of his church because he tried to convince the Board of Elders that they should not take on them a corporate status because of just these problems that you become owned by the IRS, essentially, when you take on a corporate status and you lose your ability to speak freely. And he has spoken out very strongly. He says the IRS government will not accept responsibility for frustration they create every day in this nation. Even the IRS, he says, is the most evil, predatory, tyrannical tax collection system ever devised. And anybody runs up against a very serious IRS legal case, you just really don't have any rights. The IRS controls the tax court. The judges actually get their pay from the IRS. They're not independent from the IRS. It's hard to get justice in that regard. Of course, the blame for this Joe Stack suicide by airplane will be blamed on the tax protester movement because they refused to do their patriotic duty and, quote, pay their fair share of taxes. But he says Stack is not alone. He says, I'm personally in contact with over 20 people who have lost their jobs, their homes, their pensions, and their freedom because of oppressive practices of the IRS. These people are not evil, but because they couldn't figure out all the rules, the IRS targeted them for total destruction and ruination. And most have written hundreds of letters to the IRS doing everything humanly possible to resolve the dispute, but the IRS has not, does not, will not issue a reasonable response. And they can really stonewall you if you want to, if they want to. I think, it's obviously time, as Ron Paul says, to get rid of the IRS. The only way you do that is not having an income tax anymore and not having a national sales tax. What a lot of people don't realize is these fair tax proposals actually still retain the IRS because everybody in a national sales tax has to track all of their income because that's what is taxed, is by sales. Well, they don't call it income, but it's sales, which is exactly related, and it absolutely wouldn't get rid of the IRS. In fact, everything that you sell now, it becomes even more intrusive because you have to track every piece of your income because you owe a sales tax on that. If you have a garage sale, you owe a sales tax. Any exchange that you have has a, so it's just as intrusive as an income tax. So it's very, very dangerous. I'm very much opposed to these things. Well, it's also telling that Scott Brown's first vote, the hero of the anti-Obama health care solution in Massachusetts Senate race, has turned out to be just as liberal as what people warned the conservatives he would be. Scott Brown's rival in the Senate election, Attorney General Martha Coakley, tried to label Senator Scott Brown during the campaign as a lockstep Republican. But she is now praising Brown's decision to break with the GOP to support a Democratic-sponsored jobs bill. The Boston Globe noted with glee, Senator Brown, the newly elected Republican senator from Massachusetts, was the first member of his party to cast his vote for the measure. He was followed by Senators Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe of Maine. Now, those are the two women liberals who should be Democrats, actually, but... So he's right there in that camp. But James Oliphant gave the conservative response. He said almost immediately the political blogosphere exploded. Cries of letdown, betrayal, sellout, and rhino, which means Republican name only, flew around the Twitter. By late Tuesday afternoon, more than 4,200 people had left comments on Brown's Facebook page, mostly harshly negative. But as Sean Scallion put it, so the Senate passed a jobs bill yesterday and did so with the help of one Scott Brown. There may be many out there feeling betrayed right now, but they shouldn't be. In fact, they're getting what they honestly deserve, a Republican hack, one they helped put into office even though they were warned well in advance. Let this be a lesson to Tea Partiers out there, not to let the first Republican hack, like Patrick Ruffini, come along and use your sweat equity and use your money for the party's own purposes. There will be others who say they will vote for such and such a candidate because they can stop Obamacare, or vote this fellow over because he'll stop cap and trade. But as the old message goes, he says, let buyer beware, for you see, anyone studying Scott Brown's record from his time in the Massachusetts state legislature would have known that his vote was quite in line with his views. So that is indeed a lesson that conservatives need to learn. They can't get too involved with people like Sarah Palin. She's surrounded by advisors like Randy Scheuneman, who is an arch neocon, and once again, Sarah Palin is starting to beat the war drums about Iran, which is very disturbing. We need to stay with people like Ron Paul and look at these things at the long term. Ron Paul's stronger for having run for president as a Republican. He's going to be stronger yet when he runs again this time. And indeed, the establishment has much to worry about with this man. And the way to counter Ron Paul is to put up semi-conservative, false conservative people like, and Sarah Palin is not a false conservative. Like Glenn Beck, I think she has sincere conservative things, but because she's too hungry for the accolades of the public, too hungry for the acceptance of the establishment, that they will continue to compromise and surround themselves with liberal people.
Hang on there, Joe. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Even in good times, adoptive parents often face more challenges than other families. When times get tough, these challenges can become overwhelming. But help is at hand for Colorado families that have adopted through the child welfare system. Since 2003, Colorado Post-Adoption Resource Center, COPARC for short, has assisted more than 2,000 families statewide with support, training, information, and financial aid. For each family, there is a story. For the family of two special needs siblings, COPARC means tutoring for their daughter and braces for their son. For the adoptive parents of five, COPARC means needed respite childcare so that they can attend a parenting seminar together. For the single adoptive mother of a son with autism, COPARC means finding the special services she needs to help her son relate to others. A helping hand, a network of support. COPARC is funded by Promoting Safe and Stable Families Program, Colorado Department of Human Services, Division of Child Welfare, and the Adoption Exchange. Visit adopttex.org or call 1-800-451-5246.
Have a wedding, New Year's party, business conference, seminar, or holiday event coming up and can't seem to find that place that brings affordability and excellence together? Look no further. Celebrate the season with the redesigned Sable Landing Event Center, now open for your special occasions. Easily accessible and conveniently located 1.5 miles east of I-25 off Highway 119 at the Longmont Firestone exit. Sable Landing will delight your senses and impress your guests with stunning holiday lights, a peaceful garden courtyard, and beautifully lit fountain. Attention to detail and outstanding service is yours. Don't wait. It's peak season, so reserve your place now. Call for your private showing and ask how KHNC listeners can save hundreds on booking your wedding and special event now. 303-651-6427. That's affordable excellence at Sable Landing Event Center. That's 303-651-6427.
For over 15 years, K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery Care has provided not just clean carpet, but a healthy carpet. Bonded and insured, K&K has brought quality care to your home with a proven safe truck-mounted hot water extraction process that is pH balanced, allergen-free, and safe for the environment. Tile, grout, heat transfers, and water damage care also available. For your free estimate, call K&K Premium Carpet and Upholstery, 303-237-4655. Ask about the KHNC discount on your first cleaning. That's 303-237-GO-KK.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, and here, I guess, morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and perhaps subscribe to your excellent publication. Go ahead.
Well, the World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. I try to put back into the news that which the media purposely omits, and that's how most of the news is distorted, by omission, purposeful omissions. And so it's a tough job working with a deadline every week to get these things out. As you know, doing 5 hours of radio each day, it's a tough task, but we have to do our part at least towards helping people understand what the threats are out there.
Well, we appreciate everything you do, and I would say to our listeners, this is an excellent source of information and analysis that will help you to look behind what you're being programmed to believe by the controlled media. So pick the story up, Joe.
Well, let's switch to another topic now. My main topic for today's World Affairs Brief is U.S. steps deeper into the quagmire of Afghanistan. With the ongoing attack on Marjah, the U.S. military began its first major assault on a Taliban-controlled town in Afghanistan, and simultaneously entered a new and expanded phase of the war. The resulting military victory was predictable. It's actually still ongoing, but the side effects of civilian casualties and property destruction won't allow the coalition forces to win any local hearts and minds, nor increase the acceptability of the Karzai regime. Gareth Porter writes about the political motives behind the choice of the target, and I think he's right on. He says the primary goal of the offensive is to convince Americans that a new era has arrived in the eight-year-long war. I mean, think about it. This thing has been going on 8 years, Dr. Stan. It's not going to end anytime soon. General Petraeus admitted as much on one of the Sunday Meet the Press things, that Afghanistan war will take years and incur high casualties. The Marjah campaign, the centerpiece of the new counterinsurgency strategy, is over a week old. And essentially having a lot of civilian casualties. And that's one of the questions that Juan Cole poses. Actually, he poses five important questions about the surge. He says people must, confront. Number one, can the strategy of General McChrystal of taking, clearing, holding, and building be extended deep into Pashtun regions, meaning Marjah is only the first stop. Look how costly this is to civilian support of the war. And he says, what do you do when you're up against a major city like Kandahar, which has a population of over a million, the size of Detroit? He says, this is a pie-in-the-sky dream that you can do the same thing in Marjah, clear out all the civilians, go in and intact the remaining insurgents, and then expect the people to come back to their ruined homes and like you for it. He says rural Pashtuns have come to, hate foreign occupiers, and he says even the Wall Street Journal admits that in Marjah, the Marines are not exactly feeling the love of the civilians that they dispossessed in order to liberate the town from them. Since the Taliban are typically not as corrupt as the warlords, who would be what would replace them, and always do replace them, installing corrupt warlords to take over afterwards is not going to sit well with the civilian population either.
And I think it's important to know that whether we like the Taliban or not, they're probably a lot more popular than the warlords. At least the Taliban have a sense of morality. The warlords don't.
That's exactly correct. Number two, he says, can the demonstration of vitality and a sense of progress mollify the NATO public's long enough to fight a prolonged war and do intensive training of troops and police over several years? He says, no, absolutely not. Over the weekend, the center-right government of the Netherlands, a parliamentary government, fell, with a lack of vote of confidence because they were going to continue to keep Dutch troops in Afghanistan, and it was not supported by the government or the legislature there. The Afghanistan war is universally unpopular in continental Europe, and governments have troops there mostly in the teeth of popular opposition because NATO invoked Article 5 of its charter, an attack on one is an attack on all, and how they, they based that, of course, upon the September 11 attacks and the false U.S. intelligence that it was the Taliban of Afghanistan that did it. Well, they didn't do it at all. The U.S. had targeted Afghanistan for invasion even before 9/11 and used that as an excuse. Australia is already refusing to take up the slack of the Dutch not sending troops to Afghanistan, and its government, in fact, is under public pressure to get out of the war itself, too. U.S. may find itself alone here, and that's one of the reasons why this propaganda campaign of attacking a small town like Marjah and trying to show a success there to keep the U.S. Popular support high. Question number three poses, can an Afghan army be stood up in short order that has the capacity to patrol independently and keep order after U.S. and NATO troops withdraw? He says, highly unlikely. After nearly a decade of training and investment of $1 billion, that Afghan troops are not ready for prime time. In the Marjah campaign, they showed no initiative, no ability to fight independently. They were poorly served by the junior officers, and they're 90% illiterate. And he says, worse, there's bad blood between the various tribal factions in Afghanistan. You can't have Tajiks patrolling Pashtun streets and, you know, the various, there's Hazaras and there's Uzbeks and all of those. This is a, you know, recipe for internecine warfare. Question four, can the Afghan public, which includes many groups, which I just named, deeply harmed by Taliban rule, accept reconciliation with the Taliban? And he says that's also unlikely. He says the former Northern Alliance leaders, popular among the Tajiks, have warned Karzai against reconciliation with the Taliban. They don't want to have peace with the Taliban, and so there's going to be this continual civil war problem, just like there is in Iraq. Iraq is falling apart as we speak, as the Shiites try to consolidate their power against the Sunnis. They have disenfranchised the vote of hundreds of Sunni candidates, which is not going to set well with the Sunni minority. And Karzai in Afghanistan has damaged his credibility further by taking personal control of the Electoral Council, which is the watchdog that oversees election fairness.
And yet, lastly, he himself was unfairly elected. They rigged the election to get Karzai in because he doesn't have the support of the people. And yet this is the man who's going to supervise future elections. What sort of madness is this? Is it little wonder that the Afghan people look upon America as occupiers, not interested in what they want, but, of course, in America's imperial goals? And that's what I think people have to understand, that we are an imperialist nation. We're trying to build a world empire. Everybody in the world knows it, except the average American, who honestly believes this has something to do with morality and democracy and all of these phrases they throw around. But our leaders don't believe in any of that. And, of course, my fear, Joel, is that this is leading up to the war with Iran, which I think is coming very soon. We'll be right back.
Zabel Construction is a family-owned and operated business. They're able to handle the big jobs and the small ones, from additions and remodels to decks and drywall. Over 45 years of combined experience, they're reliable and trustworthy. For a free estimate, email them at zabelconstruction@hotmail.com. That's Z-A-B-E-L construction@hotmail.com, or call Mark at 303-579-5325. Licensed and insured, Zabel Construction.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation as they celebrate Passover 2010 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. The date, March the 29th at the Ramada Plaza Hotel, I-25 and 120th Avenue. You can join the Beth Messiah Band, the Daughters of Zion, and Beth Messiah Dancers as they celebrate Passover 2010. Time, 6 p.m. Reservations are due by March the 18th. To make your reservation or for further information, call 1-800-205-6245. A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 East Longs Peak Street in Brighton says don't drive 60 if you want to live to be 61. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because it does. That's from A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning, the experts who can tell you if your last year's fuel bill was grossly out of line, and if it was, what repairs or replacements would offer you the greatest long-term savings. Call 303-659-1087, 303-659-1087. Mention this important community reminder for fast, friendly service. That's A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning.
Are you aware that oxidative stress provides a foothold to more than 100 diseases? Discover the only supplement clinically proven to eliminate the age-dependent increase in markers of oxidative stress to that of a 20-year-old. www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com. There is only one product that triggers your body to produce a host of free radical-fighting enzymes. www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com. For your improved health, check out the ABC video at www.thescienceoflivingyounger.com.
Thank you.
Nedberg, I guess, morning, Joel Skousen, and of course, my concern is that the reason we're keeping 200,000 troops in the Middle East is because, although they haven't told the American people yet, I believe that as sooner or later, we're going to be at war with Iran if we're unsuccessful in toppling that government by other means.
I think you're right, Dr. Stan. In fact, the U.S. has just received another embarrassing revelation from the international community. While they've been capturing Taliban leaders with the help of the Pakistani ISI, one of the terrorist leaders that the U.S. had been hiring and working with to destabilize Iran has been captured, and he's singing like a bird. This is going to prove embarrassing to the U.S. and its covert operations inside Iran, working to overthrow the existing government. This is the capture of the commander of the Yundala terrorist group, Abdul Malik Righi, in a stunning operation by Iran intelligence. He was flying from one of the Arab states back to Afghanistan, and they forced the jet to land and took him off the airplane. He was coming from the UAE. He was traveling under a fake Afghan passport that had been provided by the Americans. So there's a lot of highly embarrassing details that are trickling out already that are eagerly being lapped up by the Arab street talk, and they'll make the entire U.S. position in Afghanistan and Iran look pretty weak. This isn't getting much press, but that's one of the reasons I put it in the story here in the World Affairs Brief. But the big issue with Afghanistan continues to be the growing issue of civilian deaths and the subsequent cover-up. The only civilian Afghani deaths that make it into the U.S. public consciousness are the major instances when a concerted attack results in significant casualties of the innocent. In fact, there are thousands of smaller cases. The Wall Street Journal had more detail about the latest mistake, killing of 27 Afghan civilians. It says U.S. Special Operations ordered an airstrike that killed at least 27 civilians in southern Afghanistan, and the soldiers may not have satisfied the rules of engagements designed to avoid these killings. The airstrike Sunday hit a group of minibuses in a remote part of the south near the border between Uruzgan and Dayakundi provinces. The area is 100 miles from Marja, where the largest offensive is now taking place. So this was not related to the Marja thing. This was a targeted assassination. Unfortunately, the way that the U.S. works is there's a lot of special operations involved in attacks that are run out of Nellis Air Force Base, and they have to depend on others' eyes on the ground, and they are tracking a lot of these Taliban leaders, and they get in a car and join a convoy, and they blast them to death, not knowing which car he's in, obviously. You know, under normal circumstances, a military operation would put a roadblock up, capture the vehicles, and take out the individuals that they wanted and let the other civilians go. But no, when you do this by civilian drone attack, or in this case it was special operations helicopters that weren't controlled by the military, you blast the whole convoy and you kill all these civilians in the process. This is not helpful to U.S. relationships. There was another case this week of a high-tech rocket attack. This is a massive barrage of rockets that hit a group of civilian houses, and the embedded reporter talked to the Marine commander there on the ground and said, that's not the group of houses that we ordered to be hit. And somewhere in the process of going up through Brigade and then back to the Pentagon and all the communications, that somebody had switched the target to another one or got different coordinates, and they ended up hitting a bunch of totally innocent people.
But they justify it by saying it's just collateral damage. But that doesn't do any good to the women and children who have been killed, and we're slaughtering civilians over there in the name of liberating them from the wicked Taliban that we put in power initially.
Well, it's not quite that simple as they excuse themselves, Dr. Stan, because these things are capable of being avoided. This this is a problem of picking a tactic of using air power to do what normally you can only do properly with soldiers on the ground by going house to house. And even though you're going to take some casualties in doing this, that's the only way to stop the massive killing of civilians is to not target. I mean, you may have precision weaponry that takes a 500-pound bomb and puts it on a house in the middle of a community, but you're going to take out all of the houses surrounding it, too, even if you hit the house directly. A 500-pound bomb is just too big, and you have a lot of this collateral damage. And so we've really got to stop this trying to fight guerrilla wars with air power and go back to the ground campaign. And, of course, you know, I'm not in favor of actually, and I don't think the war is winnable. You just have too many millions of people, and the more you create enemies by killing civilians, the more you're going to build a new generation of fighters that you'll have to deal with forever. This is going to wear down the Americans if it continues to go on, and as you and I know, it will not continue to go on, because this is merely a stalling tactic to keep Americans engaged in the Middle East until a major Middle East war is enacted through an attack on Iran, which will start with an attack by Israel. And in all of this, one of the most galling things to Congress, of course, is that these private military contractors like Blackwater, renamed Jay Services, continue to surface, even though the public has demanded that they be cut off from contracts, and Congress claims, or the government claims, that they are not contracting with Blackwater. We find out through the committee hearings in the Senate, courtesy of Senator Carl Levin, that Blackwater has simply created new entities, a new one called Paravant, and had Raytheon, who was getting the contract, hire Paravant instead of Blackwater. And now it's come out in the Senate committees that Raytheon knew exactly that they were dealing with Blackwater, and that Blackwater knew that they had created this new entity called Paravant just to avoid having them appear to be contracting directly. It was a total fraud. And even in their application, the Blackwater people had put down, when they'd written this application for Paravant, these people had years of experience doing such and such, you know, that would meet the qualifications for the contract. In fact, they had just been created. They couldn't have had years of experience.
We're out of time, Joel. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Jambalaya reminds listeners that each year many seniors are overlooked. Show how much you care this winter by offering a ride to a religious service, a trip shopping, or check and see if their heating system is up to par. Help protect our seniors and remember a senior today. That's Jambalaya's. Enjoy the specials listed on our complete menu. Open hours that are convenient, so stop by soon for a family treat. That's Jambalaya's, 109 Colorado Avenue in Marino. And mention this message for 10% off. Call ahead for large orders, 970-522-1117. Donna and staff love our elderly.
Thank you.
Well, Doc, and back here at Nutbreak, we do hope you enjoy our programs with Joel Skiles, and every Friday we enjoy bringing them to you. Joel does an excellent job. But, ladies and gentlemen, heed his words about the coming war with Iran. Make your preparations. We can't stop it. Tell others it's coming. Tell them that this is a prelude to more and more and more wars. When are they going to stand up and say, we're not going to go along with the warfare states? We have no business going around the world killing people, especially when you go back to 1979 when the CIA installed the mullahs in power there. And believe me, nothing as it appears to be. In fact, we hear in the book by Sidney, written by Robert Baer. I mean, it's See No Evil, and he tells you the whole theme of the book is, you know, who is responsible for the bombing of the embassy, American embassy in Beirut in 1983? And it turns out it was, of course, the mullahs through Iran. America knew it was going to happen, did nothing to stop it. We've been covering for the Iranian government and excess and terrorism all these years with a long-range plan of going to water them with them at this time in history. There is a master plan. There really is a brotherhood of darkness that runs the world. You need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or the DVD, or the special, which is a book, a CD, and the DVD. You need to hear my talk on the forbidden secret, my talk on the financial Armageddon, my talk, Iraq, the untold story, and then, of course, the syllabus that goes with it. All of the wars are contrived. And then, of course, my talk on the world revolution, where you'll see my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba back in 1959, telling you how the CIA and the State Department brought Fidel Castro to power, and they knew he was a communist agent. They knew he was a communist agent. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a great new product, and of course we sell products to help finance our 60 outlets every week. It's called Prostate Support, and if you're a man over 55 or 60, and troubled, as most of us are when we get to that age, by prostate symptoms, let me suggest you evaluate whether Prostate Support will help you. It's been used extensively in England. I've been tested, and certainly I've been found to be beneficial. Prostate Support, great product. I take it. I was impressed after 1 week with the difference. I've taken other things before. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, that's our number, or our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day and not get much accomplished, but you'll get a lot of education. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because this is truly a spiritual battle, and there really is organized evil in the world today, and a lot of it is working right in our nation's capital. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian nation. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com. Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results.
Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland. 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate their support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Join the Beth Messiah congregation as they celebrate Passover 2010 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. The date, March the 29th at the Ramada Plaza Hotel, I-25 and 120th Avenue. You can join the Beth Messiah band, the Daughters of Zion, and Beth Messiah dancers as they celebrate Passover 2010. Time, 6 p.m. Reservations are due by March the 18th. To make your reservation or for further information, call 1-800-205-6245. This is...